Right, now, 23-year-old Jack Woolley is gearing up for the biggest challenge of his life as he prepares for the Tokyo Olympics. He's going to compete representing us, and he's going to be the first Irish man to take part in Taekwondo in the Olympic Games. And he joins us on the line now. How are you doing, Jack?
Hiya, I'm good.
It's a bit late to say congratulations because you've known since December 2019 that you've qualified, haven't you?
Yeah, so it was the end of 2019 and we qualified and we like had only a few months to like kind of prepare for the games. But obviously with the postponement, we've had like a good while to wait now.
Yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So you've had, it'll be sort of over 18 months between your qualification and the actual first competition in Tokyo.
Yeah, I think it definitely works out in my favour because it's given me like an extra year to get better and stronger and just kind of be more comfortable because we spent so many years trying to qualify and when we did, it was like, okay, we had to like switch on almost straight away and start preparing for the games. But now that we've had a little bit longer, I've able to have like a breather, refocus myself and kind of just hit the ground running with training because we haven't been able to train like consecutively that much over the years because we're constantly on planes traveling to competitions. So it was nice to kind of have that little bit of time to practice, go in training and just kind of have a proper fixed schedule and just, you know, train to get better, stronger and go into Tokyo this year feeling 100%.
Yeah. When you say we, it's you and Robert, is it? He's your trainer.
Yeah, me and Robert, yeah.
You're a tight team.
Yeah, very. We're very close. I've known him since I was 8 years old.
Wow.
So we've grown up together and he's been my coach and he's been there every step of the way. So very grateful for the teamwork we have together.
Bring us back to when you were 8. I know you started doing Taekwondo because your older brother was doing it and he started doing it because he was being bullied. Was that it?
Yeah, so actually I started when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to start until you were 6. So my brother was a few years older and he was bullied in primary school. So my parents put him in for like self-defense reasons. And I just kind of went down and I was a bit of a annoying, wrecked the head kid, kind of down the back. I wasn't able to join in, kicking my legs about, showing off like the way I have been and just kind of showing everyone like how flexible I was. And
right.
I was just itching to get in. And then on my 6th birthday, I was able to join in, got stuck in and I fell in love with it. And I haven't looked back since.
And back then when you first met Robert and you were having the chats, as you do when you're that age and you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Was there mention of the Olympics?
It was definitely something there that not necessarily for me, but it was something around the sport, like somebody wanted to become the first Olympian in the sport for Ireland.
Yeah.
Necessarily at that age, probably didn't think it was me, but you know, I set my goals. My first competition, I just loved it. And to be honest, the type of person I am, it's not that number one, only just loving the sport. It's also, it comes from a love of winning things. Like, I'm one of those people that at Christmas, if you lose a board game, I'm going to throw the board, you know. So that's just me down to a T. So it kind of worked hand in hand, loving the sport and also loving winning.
Yeah.
So I think seeing an ultimate goal of an Olympic Games and getting there, and that's like the one big thing I set my mind on. So probably around the age of 9, 10 is when I started realizing, okay, we'll go give it a go. And then it wasn't until maybe when I was like 14 that I realized, oh, I'm actually quite good at this. This is a big possibility. And now we're here.
We're here. And you just missed out on Rio. What age were you in the lead up to Rio?
Yeah, so I was 17. I was in fifth year trying to get into Rio.
Right. So that didn't work out. And that was that very upsetting for you at the time?
Now looking back on it, I was young, but it was upsetting for me at the time because I was so close. Like, you needed a gold or silver to get in on the qualification tournament and I got a bronze.
Right.
And at that age, like, nobody expected anything of me except for myself. I went in, had no like pressure on me, and I gave it everything I could. I just missed out. I cried on national telly. Not great for a 17-year-old who's still in school to be seen crying on the telly, but you know, it just showed that it meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it pushed me more to get in automatically. Like, you can get in on a ranking system. So the top 6 in the world qualify automatically. And we set our goals that that's what I wanted to do, yeah. and that's how we were going to get in, that we weren't going to put the pressure on ourselves of having to go to a qualification tournament. So yeah. we just spent the last 4 years trying to get the ranking points, and we got
did.
In.
You did, yeah. In fairness, probably people aren't going to say anything, seeing that you're, you know, an expert in taekwondo. They're not going to say anything about you crying on the telly, are they?
No, I would hope not.
It's not going to happen. Just explain to us about taekwondo. I was looking at you in action there. The balance yeah. involved is amazing. Just for people who don't know what the difference between judo and taekwondo and karate, would you just give us a sort of a bluffer's guide? An introduction.
Yeah, so basically, I just basically tried to explain taekwondo was similar to like boxing with your feet. Like, you kick to the body, you kick to the head. A lot of it now is very single leg dominated, so like one leg is up in the air and we kick and stuff like that. But we wear magnets in our sensor socks, so we have these like little socks that we wear, right. and they connect to the body armor and the headgear uh-huh. to like, and they have sensors in them. So,
it's like fencing.
The bias.
Like fencing, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, fencing, and it makes a fencing, boxing, but just with your legs.
No, I mean, the technology yeah. is what they use in fencing. That's what I was saying there.
Yeah, but also similar to like finding the points on the person uh-huh, you're sparring right, as well. Okay. Similar to fencing, like you're trying to find the gaps. And yeah. Like, because we're kicking, might be easier to see because it takes longer to kick than it would be to punch.
Yes.
So finding the gaps is very important when... Okay. Somebody's got good cover, you know.
And I was saying about balance. It's amazing because you're say on your left leg and you're kicking with your right leg, but you can do a number of different kicks whilst still just balancing on one leg. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a mix of good balance and a good flexibility, because that's definitely something that you not necessarily need in the sport. Like, I know there's some athletes who don't necessarily have extreme flexibility, but it definitely helps. The easier you can get your leg into someone's face, the yeah. better.
And I see that you can still put your foot around your own head.
Yeah, I never lost that. You know how like you can bend like babies' legs and they're always having their legs wrapped around their head? I never lost that. So since I'm born, basically, I'm just like a big infant.
Is that what happens at family gatherings? Go on, Jack, do the old trick there. Put your foot around your head.
That's basically what happens, yeah. yeah. Social events. Oh, show us the splits. Oh, can you put your leg around your head? That's literally every single time.
Can you do the splits, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I've never not been able to do them.
Gee, that's amazing. That's amazing. So, a long time coming. I'm just wondering how lockdown was for you, because obviously taekwondo is a sport that you need a sparring partner. There's no point, you know, being at home, sort of, you know, looking in the mirror and kicking. You need somebody to kick, don't you?
Yeah.
So how did that work out?
It actually worked out really well for me. So the first lockdown was actually probably the best few months of my life, if not the best, because we actually got back from a competition from Sofia Open, and we just landed, and my best friend usually stays in my house and we get a Domino's because of all the cutting weight, so it's like a little bit of a blowout. And he came over, and we seen on the news that we were like, oh, there could be a possible lockdown. I was like, it's only supposed to be 2 weeks, you know, you just stay in my house. And then 3.5 months later, he's still here. But luckily, we got equipment off Sport Ireland and like a strength and conditioning stuff, like a rack and a load of weights, and we were able to spar each other, able to do some pad work and stuff. And I was just really grateful to have him here, especially like he's my best mate as well, so it was nice to have that kind of social aspect. It just felt very right. fresh, and so it was a good time.
He's a huge part then of your preparation for the Olympic Games, isn't he? A huge part.
Yeah, he's a massive part. Very grateful to have him, because I know over the years that Ireland's not necessarily had a massive team, but we definitely have some good up-and-coming athletes, and he's one of them. And we were similar in weight for a while now. He's gotten a little bit heavier now. He's grown up. He's becoming a man, but he's still my training partner. We work well together. We buzz off each other, yeah. and there's always good atmosphere in training, so I'm very grateful for him.
Does he have a name? Are you allowed to say his name? Or
yeah, David. Yeah.
David, okay.
David, yeah.
David, yeah. Right, so it's not going to be an Olympic Games like any other Olympic Games, but it doesn't matter to you because this is your first one, so you've nothing to compare it to.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah. But
the positives of everything.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it will usually, you know, when you would have a party of people, and I'm sure your family were intending to travel, were they?
Yeah. So my parents actually had their flights booked, because we qualified in the December, so they had a few months to book it before COVID hit. and they had their flights booked, and then they had to rebook them because they thought they were going to be able to travel for this year with the postponement, and then they found out that they wouldn't be allowed in the audience. So that was unfortunate, but you know, for me, I'm not used to having people in the audience. I travel a lot on my own. My parents aren't really there shouting for me. I think I'd find them quite distracting. So it doesn't really faze me. I right. prefer them not there. Right. But like the amount of support they've given me over the years, like I'd love them to say that they were there and they were like there when I become Olympic champion. It would be amazing to have my parents there. But, you know, it could become a distraction, and for me, I'd probably prefer them not to be there.
And is that on the cards, the gold medal, is it, Jack?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, because if you think about it, if I go out and I give 100% of what I'm capable of, I don't think there's anybody on the day that's going to be able to beat me. And that's just being truthful. I feel like I've gotten so much better. I've become stronger, I've fit the weight a little bit better, and, you know, I've just grown so much as an athlete, and from past performances against other athletes that have qualified, it's either I've either won or it's been very, very close. Mm. So there's no reason at all why I can't go out and become Olympic champion.
Brilliant. Of course, they've had a year off as well, and they might have had the same experience of you. They might have a David at home with them as well. You know,
exactly. You never know. Happening.
Yeah, and that's a big thing as well, because usually there would be competitions in the lead up to the Olympics, so that you're up against unknowns.
Yeah, well, I've been lucky that I've been able to compete a little bit. So we had European Championships, Olympic weight categories back in December.
Right.
I took a bronze.
Right.
Then we had Euros recently. That didn't go to plan, but you know, I don't want to peak too early.
We've got
one more competition before the games. That's in Mexico.
You will get to see who you're up against. I got that wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So who are the people to watch out for? What's the strong taekwondo country?
South Korea is probably the most known, because that's where it originates, and they've qualified a good amount of athletes. They're constantly getting medals and stuff. Iran is a massive country in the sport. Very diverse style and very strong country. So there'll be two athletes in my division that we'll be watching out for.
Yeah. How do you control the emotion on a competition day? I was watching Klopp, the Liverpool manager, the other day, and he was saying this is what we have to do before the second leg of the European thing, the Champions League. He was saying I have to get them to control their emotions. How do you do that?
Do you know, because I compete so much, I'm kind of immune to it. Like I just throw in my headphones and like focus. I don't know how to explain it. Like my coach knows when I'm on, because when we're warming up, he'll look me in the eye and he'll just know Jack's gonna get a goal today. So you know, that's just the way our relationship is, and it's nice because I can just go in and walking into the ring, I'll just give myself a little slap in the face, stare down the opponent, and it's game time. You know, so it's just I'm used to it by now.
And is a lot of it that sort of, you know, psyching your opponent out?
So I think it's more people's names in the sport, because we're all so used to each other, we know who each other are. So it's not that we're going in against unknowns and that we need to psych them out or whatever. It's more the big names. So Luckily, the more ranking you get, the more well-known you get, you find a lot of athletes will start to like
fear,
like,
you.
Oh no, I've got that person in the draw, or they look at the draw, because we find out who we fight the day before. So they'll be like, oh no, and they'll be overthinking it. I know I used to do it as a kid, like when I was maybe like 10 or 12 and I didn't want to fight certain people, and you see the draw and you'd be like, oh no, I didn't want that draw. So it's that type of kind of getting rid of them vibes in your training, and just focusing on yourself rather than who's necessarily in front of you.
You have a lovely, quiet confidence about you, Jack. I was looking at when you got the Echo, that's your local paper out there in Tala, when you got the Echo Sports Star of the Year back in 2019, and you were saying how proud you were of yourself. There's something, you know, wonderful about that, being able to say that you're very proud of yourself. That's a good thing. Where did you get that from? Your parents, is it?
Yeah, I've been brought up like that. Just to be humble, not to be arrogant, and but still have a confidence, right, or still have that, like, you know, focus of I can be the best and there's nothing kind of going to stop me. But still at the same time, recognize what I've put in, because I used to get very bogged down years ago. I'd put in a lot of hard work and I might not get the results I wanted. But my parents taught me, you put in the hard work, you should be proud of yourself for putting in the hard work. Mm. Just put in even more and then you'll eventually get the results you wanted. So like that's a good example. Like when we didn't get Rio, we put in the extra work. I was disappointed for all about 2 weeks and then we came back and we've become an Olympian.
Yeah, Olympian. Jack Woolley, the first Irishman to qualify for taekwondo in the Olympic Games. Listen, I think you're brilliant. I just have to mention that Circle K is supporting Team Ireland athletes in partnership with the Olympic Federation of Ireland. And for the chance to name two mascots and win prizes, you can log on to circlek.ie because they're helping you out and that's very important because you're amateur. Jack, we'll talk before you head off to Tokyo. But for the moment, thanks so much.
Thanks very much for having me. Cheers.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.